Welcome to Energy Law Roundup, your comprehensive weekly briefing on legal news and developments in the energy industry from Texas and across the country, always in 30 minutes or less. And now, your host for Energy Law Roundup, business litigator and oil and gas trial lawyer, Tom Charlone.
It is the week of March 5th, 2018. Again, my name is Tom Charlone. I'm a litigation partner in the Houston office of Kane Russell Coleman & Logan, where I serve as the head of our firm's energy practice group. In this week's episode of the podcast, we're bringing you the fourth installment in a multi-part series of presentations that our practice group recently made to the Association of Corporate Counsel here in Texas on a variety of key legal issues impacting the oil and gas industry today. Daniel Guerra is the co-chair of our firm's transportation practice group. Danny is going to speak to us today about the intersection of technology on the one hand and trucking and other forms of transportation that are common in the oil patch on the other hand. Danny has over 20 years of experience as a trial lawyer in state and federal courts across Texas, having tried countless hotly contested cases in the energy sector to successful conclusion. Previously, Danny served as an assistant attorney general for the state of Texas. He has also worked as the general manager of an international semiconductor service provider and additionally as a reporting analyst for GE Capital. I can tell you from personal experience that Danny always brings this business perspective and acumen to the table as a trial lawyer, and clients appreciate this for good reason. It helps Danny achieve not just tremendous legal results, but also excellent commercial outcomes for his clients. Without further ado, I give you Danny Guerra.
Like Tom said, my name is Danny Guerra. What we're going to be talking about is basically the state of technology right now, and where technology is going to go in the future as it pertains to trucking. So we're going to talk about Form C. We're going to talk about this electronic logging rule. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that at all. Let me ask, does anyone have expertise in trucking or transportation? Okay. Feel free to ask any questions. This is very interactive. Okay. Then we're going to talk about how people deal with distracted driving in trucks. What they do right now is they use telematics. They use devices to block cell phones. They use inward facing cameras. But even then, the technology is developing. And then we're going to move on to autonomous driving, platooning trucks, and this new concept, which really excites me, which is called V2X communications. Once again, ask me as many questions as you'd like. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is RailPro's Form C. So in the context of trucking and railroad interaction, there's a problem, right? I mean, trains are going on their tracks. Trucks have to cross them from time to time. That interaction can be extremely dangerous, especially in the context of oil field operations. So what one of the major class one railroads, there are seven class ones, what they have done is they have created this protocol. It's not really a technology, but I thought it was interesting, so I wanted to tell you guys about it. They have a protocol where carriers and truckers notify the railroad that they're going to be crossing, making this crossing often. They're going to be doing this crossing. And a lot of these crossings in the oil field are, you know, they're steeply pitched. So there's a real danger that a truck is going to get hung up. There's a danger that there's going to be a collision. So you notify, a carrier notifies a railroad. The railroad notifies this company called RailPros. It has real experience with railroad operations, and they are authorized to communicate directly with the train crew. So when the train crew's coming in, RailPros gets the notice, and they flag for the trucks and for the trains. And what they do, they have. In our experience, we've heard of at least one incident that they stopped. A truck was fouling the track, and they were able to communicate with the train in advance of the collision, and they were able to stop it. The sad thing is, it's not available everywhere. Right now, this one railroad's doing it in the southern region with some expansion into its western region, but it is something that you guys should be thinking about if you have trucks or if you have contractors using trucks that are crossing rails often. All right, next. So this, I don't know if you guys know, but well, I would assume that you know, most truckers have to monitor their hours of service. They have to report it on a log. And in the old days, the way truckers did this, I have this urge to walk around, but I'm going to stay right here because the mic's here. In the old days, what truckers used to do is they just write, they have this log and you're like on duty, off duty, sleep, on duty, but not driving. And you keep those logs. And if you don't have those logs, you get in trouble. And then what happened is people started doing automated logs. So it's a little more advanced. You don't have to keep track of the paper. It's a little more automatic, I guess. Okay. So, but it was totally voluntary. Recently, there was a new regulation that was just implemented. It was implemented last year, but it's the meat of it is going into effect December 18th, 2017. So just next month. And what that rule says is that you have to use an electronic logging device, either one of the grandfathered devices or one of the new ELDs. And it is a problem. So here's sort of the timetable. It went into effect December 16th, 2015. Electronic logging becomes mandatory December 18th, 2017. And by December 16th, 2019, you have to have an ELD. Okay, it sounds great. The American Truck Driving Association is behind it completely, which is strange because, you know, typically industry does not want regulation. But there is a lot of pushback with respect to smaller and independent drivers. So if you guys are using smaller and independent drivers, they are really very unhappy with this regulation. And if you guys use Twitter, I don't know if you ever use it. I use it. I like to see what's going on. Hashtag ELD or me, hashtag ELD mandate will let you see how angry independent drivers are. They are just tweeting out about how unhappy they are. And what they're saying is that it's taken away their choice. It's going to increase their cost. They're going to be subject to unreasonable requirements. Brian Babin, who is the representative east of Houston in District 36, he filed a bill July 18th to extend the deadline for the implementation of this electronic logging device rule. It's stuck in subcommittee. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere, which is kind of, I actually think it's surprising given the current political environment. That seems like something that would get kicked out. So just the other day, I think that was Friday, November 9th, he sent a letter, a formal request to President Trump to issue a waiver of this rule because of the potential impact on independent carriers, and basically asking the president to require a more of a financial cost benefit analysis. Okay, if it was up to me, I think there will be a waiver granted. I mean, it's right before Christmas. The rule goes into effect right before Christmas. The horror stories that are being told by the independent carriers is that no gifts are going to get where they need to be. It's going to ruin everyone's Christmas, that sort of thing. That's what they're saying. All right, let's talk about distracted driving. We're switching topics. What I've tried to do is give you the greatest hits of technology for trucking. So I'm going just as quick as I can because I know I don't have a ton of time. Distracted driving. I do a lot of driving. I live in Austin. I drive to Houston a lot for work, come to San Antonio, all over the state. And the number of times I've had people slide over into my lane because they're on their phone or because they're eating or because they're doing whatever. This is a significant problem. In 2015, by the way, I don't know why the latest statistics are from 2015. That was the best I could do. About 3,500 people were killed because of distracted driving. About 391,000 people were injured. And this bottom thing, I'm not sure I know how to do this. Oh, yeah. 660,000 drivers use their phones every single day while they're driving. That seems crazy to me. I think that's probably interesting. Yeah. I think it is, too, but that's documented. By the way, this is how we do, Marcy and I handle trials. I'll talk, she'll fill in the blank. She'll talk, I'll fill in the blank. So I actually meant to invite her to say more while I'm up here. So here's what people do right now to prevent distracted driving in trucking. They use telematics. It's basically GPS that feeds into a central point. And it's been used for quite a while, right? I mean, it helps people improve fuel performance, maintenance, driver safety, that sort of thing. The problem is you have to monitor it. If you're not monitoring this real-time data, it really doesn't do you any good. One thing about that, the thing that they did notice is even though there's kind of like this halo effect, right? You know you're being watched. You know that you're on telematics. You know that they could go back and see that you hit the brakes 15 times way too hard. The thing that really helps is coaching and sort of turning it into a game, like getting your drivers to, you know, shoot for better fuel mileage, shoot for better braking outcomes, shoot for that sort of thing, and giving them actual awards. I mean, people respond to that sort of thing. Cell phone blocking. Drivers can't be on their cell phone. Well, I guess the rules say that they can use a hands-free. Oh my gosh, 10 minutes. I got to go faster. There is technology that blocks cell phones in the cab of a truck. And if you go to the website, it is foolproof. If you go to the websites for the manufacturers of this, the people do it, it's foolproof. It works every time. It doesn't. Marcy and I have experience with this in a case where that's exactly what happened. The plaintiff was alleging he was on his, that our driver was on the phone. And because he was on the phone, he crossed a lane, causing extremely severe damage to the driver of a car. Marcy developed this defense. Do you want to talk about it right now or do you want to talk about it later?
Okay.
The point is, we looked into it and our client actually had tried to use cell phone blocking and the technology just wasn't where the websites say that they are, right? And so we were able to, or Marcy was able to create a defense where, look, I hear what you're saying, plaintiff. That's how it works. That's how you say it works. But here is all the different steps that we tried to do. And we got witnesses lined up and we had them testify about everything that they tried to do. And ultimately, it really devalued the case, I believe. Finally, inward-facing cameras. That's pretty evident, right? The camera's facing the driver. So if he's always doing this, looking at his phone, you'll know. Or if he's always eating or whatever. But now the technology has, they have technology where they're using facial recognition technology. And what they're able to do is see the guy's face if he's looking away or, you know, continually doing the same thing, and it will send an alert. It'll either that you can install a bump under the seat that will say, wake up, quit doing that. Don't fall asleep. Quit, get off your cell phone. It will also send a message to the dispatch where it will tell them, hey, your guy is not paying attention. Okay, so that's sort of the old technology. Now let's go into the new stuff, autonomous driving. Okay, this is not like a flying car. This is something that is actually coming. It's happening right now. In fact, I read an article this morning that said that they are testing trucks driving all the way from San Diego to El Paso, self-driving with a driver in the seat, monitoring everything, but they push a button when they get on the highway and then it gets them all the way to San Diego. Right now, generally we are at level 0 to 2 of autonomous driving. I mean, you know, some cars have lane assist, some cars have brake assist if you get too close, but really what they're thinking is that by 2020, which is 2 years away, 3 years away, that trucks will be at level 3, which means a driver is necessary to be in the cab to sort of monitor the truck with and need to take control of the truck with a little bit of an advance notice. By 2035, trucks will pretty much be driving themselves within their specified environment. That's what ODD, operational design domain. All right, the benefits are that 94% of accidents are caused by human error. The NHTSA estimates that we would go from 222 truck accidents per 100 million miles driven down to 8 accidents That is a tremendous benefit. Also, the fuel economy issue. Let me just say that if you go out and read the literature basically says that we have the technology to do self-driving cars, self-driving trucks. It's consumer confidence. Like, are people going to deal with a truck or a car being self-driven at this point? That's the real question. Truck platooning. This is happening right now already. Trucks connect up through technology that we're about to talk about, and they get really close within 30 to 50 feet of each other. They follow each other, like kind of like a road train, like it says. And what they do is the first truck controls everything. The trucks behind it have their braking system is connected to the front truck. So when the first guy hits the brake, all the brakes on the trucks behind slow down. And it's supposed to increase fuel mileage. It's also supposed to decrease congestion because trucks are so close. And then this is the crazy part. Provides drivers with the opportunity to take on other tasks. That completely freaks me out. I am not bought in. I think the technology is there, but I'm still not okay with it. Okay, so here's the missing link, and I'm really excited about this. V2X communication. Okay. Vehicle to anything communication. In the future, when I say in the future, Cadillac's doing this right now on their CTS, cars will have a unit, a transponder, that will send out a message, including basic safety information. It will give your heading, your speed, your brake status, and other stuff. And it will send it out 10 times a second. All the cars within 1,000 yards of you will be sending out that same thing, and you will be receiving that same information. Additionally, infrastructure such as traffic lights, railroad crossings, construction zones will be sending out the same messages. So your car is going to be taking in all this information as you're driving down the road. So the best part about this is that if someone four cars ahead of you in your lane that you can't see slams on the brakes or swerves or is about to cause an accident, in the future, your car or your truck will automatically hit the brakes to avoid that accident. Additionally, it will tell you things like you need to go 36 miles an hour to make this series of lights. You know, it'll sort of maximize. And once again, you know, safety is the issue. Fuel efficiency is the issue. Okay. The NHTSA issued a proposed rulemaking. They asked for comments. They said, we're going to sort of standardize. We're going to standardize the issue of V2V communication, just vehicle to vehicle communication. But it was just like light vehicles with the expectation that truck rules would be coming soon. And down at the bottom, you see that quote, without government intervention, the resulting uncertainty could undermine manufacturer plans. Basically, they want to standardize it so people know what's going on. But once again, I'm sort of skipping through this, except that the cost per new vehicle would be between $150 and $300. It's not a tremendous cost. But with the new administration, this proposed rulemaking has been completely stalled. It is not going anywhere. It's just not. So the question is whether manufacturers will somehow do this on their own. I mean, like I said, Cadillac has it in their car in a CTS, I think, next year, but it's the only car that's out there with it. So if two Cadillacs are about to run into each other, great, they'll know, but otherwise it's not going to do any good. Okay. And the biggest, in addition to the sort of the pause on the autonomous driving, because a lot of people say that autonomous driving would really benefit from this V2V, V2I communication, is that cell phone companies are trying to sort of encroach into the bandwidth, the band space, the 5.9 gigahertz band that has sort of been set aside for this V2V, V2I communication. And so, to be honest, that is the biggest issue with the loss of those rules. It is interesting because the American Trucking Association has issued guidance or issued a policy statement that says, we really do want rules on this. We want to reserve the 5.9 band for this communication. They also have issued a policy that they don't want state interference. They want this regulated at the federal level. They want uniformity. You know, they want preemption, kind of like the railroads, right? But they do not want any mandates. They do not want to be required to use any technology. They want each carrier to make the decision on whether they need V2V communications or whether they need to use autonomous drive.
Thank you for listening to Energy Law Roundup. If you would like additional information about anything from today's episode, you can contact Tom at 210-446-6999 or by email at tom@charlone.net. New episodes of this podcast are available every week on the web at www.energylawroundup.com, your one-stop source for breaking news and developments in energy law.